And yet I show you a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 13:1 is known as the love chapter. It's usually what I read at a wedding. Those of you in Sunday school kind of understand where I'm going with this, because you learned something today about faith. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not, I'm going to use the modern term, love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Now you in Sunday school begin to put the breadcrumbs together. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we ask, Lord God, for your anointing, for the liberty of the Spirit, Lord, to flood this place, Lord, that hearts will be touched, lives will be changed. Lord, that we will leave this place different than with the way we came. Let there be an anointing, Lord, not in my height, but in the words that go forth. We thank you and we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the more excellent way. Amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. The more excellent way. You know, years ago when I read that, it really didn't make sense to me. Paul says, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. But that's what we're going to talk about today. Without God's grace, this whole month has been about grace, but without God's grace, we're going to turn the heat down now, I'm sure. Sorry about that. Let me go back here and make sure that it's going to be nice and comfortable. We don't want no one falling asleep. All right. So it's down to a nice, comfy, balmy 70. I mean, when people got fans and it's winter, you know something's not right. Amen. So we got that boiler working now. Amen. Without God's grace, our works fall short. We can do all kinds of things, but without God's grace in our lives, whatever we do will fall short. I want to remind you of something that at first you may have heard so many times, but it didn't really hit you. I want it to hit you today. When Jesus was about to be crucified, they gave him his cross to carry. And he couldn't carry it. Think about that. The God of this universe was given a cross to carry, and he couldn't carry it. Why? Because he'd been beaten up, he'd been brutalized, he'd been tortured all night. But he could have supernaturally made himself carried. He could have easily just gone into his divinity and picked up that cross and walked. But he stayed in his humanity to teach us a lesson. That even though being God in the flesh, we can't carry that cross. We just can't do it. In fact, he needed help. You will need help to carry your cross. If Jesus, who was God in the flesh in his humanity, could not carry that cross, what makes us think that we can get through life without help? Our works will just not be good enough. Believing is not enough to bridge that gap between us and God in relationship. Jesus says even the devils believe. So belief alone doesn't fix your relationship with God. It's just the first step on the ladder of relationship. It's when we first hear about God's word and we start to believe that there is a God and that his word is true and that he wants something for us and that we should have a relationship. And the next step on that ladder, which we've been talking about all month, has been God's grace, that he will reach out to us. The fact that we even want to come to church, believe it or not, is actually God's grace. The Bible says no man comes to the Father unless the Spirit draw him. In fact, it's in John chapter 6 and verse 44. It says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So the fact that you're here today, the fact that you had this desire to come to church, you know what that means? That's the Spirit that drew you. That's the Spirit that is moving you. That is the Spirit of God in his love and his grace that is saying, I love you. I want you. You didn't just happen to come here by yourself. You thought, you may have chosen, you know, I need to go to church or I want to see somebody, I want to sing some songs. But beneath that, the Spirit of God here drew you today. The first step in salvation and the first rung of the ladder, as we said in Sunday school, is God's unmerited favor. The fact that the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet in our mess, while we were yet messing up, while we had no intention of serving God, while we were just about ourselves and pleasure and what suited us, God was there working away in our hearts saying, you need to change. You need to stop this direction. You need to go in a different direction. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, while I was still not caring about him, while I was still being selfish, while I was all about me, I and myself, God loved us. God loved us. That invitation, that reaching out was God's grace. Even though you didn't think it or don't believe it, yes, it was God's grace. Unmerited favor because he loved us first. You see, we can't see him directly, but we can see his works. We can see his work. Psalms 19 verse 1 tells us that we can see his works. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. I remember years ago, I happened to go out to Nevada, and we were driving in the desert, and I said, stop. I said, stop the vehicle, stop the vehicle. It was at night. And I made them stop, and we all got out, and we just looked at the stars. Now, when you go out in Milwaukee, you can hardly see one or two, but out there, it was so pitch black. It was so beautiful. And the scripture came back to me. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language. Every tribe, every religion somewhere has known that there is a God. No matter where you go in this universe on planet Earth, someone is worshiping something. Why? Because Paul says even nature teaches us that there has to be something bigger. There has to be more. But that is only the start. That is the Spirit of God letting us know that he exists and that he's there and he wants a relationship with us. Something in our inner soul, when we're quiet, tells us that we need to seek him, that we need to come to him. You know, we may pick up a Bible and start reading and see the words. We may find a church and start attending. And then we hear the words. We begin to believe and we're beginning to respond to the grace that comes by faith. The Bible says that the first thing to come to God is that you have to believe that he exists. The Bible says you must first believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The wise men searched for Jesus for more than 2 years. Think about that. They must have been determined that we are not stopping this trek until we see this Messiah, this King of the Jews. They could have given up after a few months, but they diligently sought him. When you're diligent, when you have that determination, you're going to start to believe. Faith is going to be born in your heart. You're going to start to believe, well, maybe this promising I read about him blessing is for me. So faith that responds to grace is the second ladder. And responding to his word and seizing upon all the meanings of the verses. And you say, well, maybe this promise could be for me. Jesus said, the promise is unto you and your children and are many that are far off. And then we may put faith into action. We may come to church and we may ask to be baptized. And we may seek the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But we're still missing a key factor to make our faith powerful. Those in Sunday school, you know what it is. You see, believing in miracles but not believing in his love. You know, we may read about the miracles and we may see other people getting delivered and we may believe, but that's for them. I don't think he loves me enough to do it for me. I don't think he can do it for me because I've made a mess of my life. I've done so much. You don't understand. The amount of times people have told me as pastor, you don't understand. I get that regularly. You don't understand my situation, pastor. You don't understand. Well, I may not understand, but I tell you what, he does. He does. Yeah, people have said to me, you don't understand. They're telling me why God can't work in their life. You don't understand my situation. You don't understand where I'm coming from. But he does. Mark chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said this, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And we believe for others. We see other people getting blessed and we say, well, that's because they're special or that's because, you know, they're not like me. You don't understand. This situation where Jesus said this, it was a peculiar case where the disciples were not able to do the miracle. This little boy was possessed and they had brought him to Jesus' disciples and they couldn't help. So they brought him to Jesus, and Jesus said to the Father, listen, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, he wanted this to happen. Many times we want God to do the miracle. It's not a matter of us wanting to, but there is still something that is lacking in our faith. Straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. But he realized there was something still in his life that was lacking. He said, but help mine unbelief. The thing that makes grace and faith more powerful is love. I told the class today, I asked them the question, how do you make faith more powerful? And I explained, listen, if there was a stranger out there that said to you, follow me to my house, I've got $100 for you. How much faith would you put in that person? Not much, not today. But if it was somebody that you knew, they said, follow me to my house, I got $100 for you, maybe you might do that. But what makes your faith stronger is if it's somebody who you love. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want your faith to be stronger, you have to love more. Do you understand what Paul was trying to say in chapter 13 now? He was saying, listen, it's good to have hope. It's good to have faith. But the greatest of these is love. Because it's love that makes faith stronger. When you love somebody, you're going to believe them. It's different from knowing somebody. You know somebody, you might have some faith in them. But if it's someone you love, you're going to believe them. If my wife told me something, even if it was astounding, guess what? I'm going to believe her. Why? Because I love her. Now, you may tell me something. I might know you, but I might go, I might go, maybe. But you see, when we have love to God, we're going to believe. That is the difference. That is the key to getting your miracle. It's not just knowing him. You have to love him. That is what strengthens faith. That's the revelation I'm telling you tonight, this morning. That's what Paul was trying to say. He said, I'm going to show you a more excellent way. It's all well having these gifts. It's all well being able to prophesy and all these other things. But the key to making it through is if you love him. We all believe God can do miracles. We all believe he has done miracles. Our unbelief is still there, though, because we still don't get to that place of loving him. You see, if love is based upon my performance, I'm going to fail. The Bible said, no, while we were yet sinners, he loved us. And all he's trying to do is get us to reciprocate. And his grace and his ability to respond to your need is based upon your belief and trust in him. See, in that story I just told you, if someone said, I had $100 for you, you're going to respond whether you believe or not. If you don't believe, you're going to say, okay, see you. But if you believe, you're going to follow them because you want the money. Do you understand what I'm saying? There is a more excellent way to get your relationship with God on a higher footing. Lady came to Jesus. She started weeping. She was weeping so much she had enough tears to wash his feet. She took an alabaster jar that was filled with this precious ointment that cost half a year's wages. That means in today's it would be thousands of dollars. And she broke it and started to pour it over his head. Jesus said this thing. She had been forgiven much, so she loved much. I want to point out one more thing. He didn't say, so she had great faith. Later on, we find out who this woman was. In John, it says, this is the same Mary who washed his feet. Now, I'm going to prove to you, because she loved much, she had great faith. A little bit later, her brother died, Lazarus. And they sent to Jesus, Jesus, he's sick. Why don't you come now? Your friend who you love is sick. Jesus said, I'm going to stay a little bit longer. Sometimes God wants to test our love. Sometimes God wants to see where our faith is. And the only way you're going to get to that top level is through love. Now you notice when Jesus did show up after Lazarus had died, who was it who ran to him? Who was it who ran to him? Who was it who ran to him? Okay, go look it up. Lord, I know if you had been here, he would not have died. But I also know that whatever you ask. Do you understand what I'm saying is our unbelief is because of our lack of love. Christopher, and I told it to the class this morning, he told this story. I don't know which of his children it was who just jumped off the ledge. One of his little girls, when they were a baby, they just flung themselves off the ledge expecting him to catch them. Now, the reason why they did that is because it was daddy. Now, a stranger walking by, they have no relationship, but because it was daddy and they had love, they had great faith. Do you see how love is tied to your faith? She just flung herself off like this. Didn't warn him, didn't ask. Abby's looking at me. Was it you? She's looking at me. Whoever it was very young, but they knew daddy was there and daddy had to catch her. Was daddy going to let her fall and say, you didn't warn me, you didn't ask me, you gave me no notice? No, what daddy did was he immediately, without any hesitation, grabbed her because she totally trusted him. Do you understand our faith is based upon love? That's what Paul was trying to say. I show you a more excellent way. You can believe based upon the word. You can come to God based upon fear. But until you learn to love him, you're not going to get the miracle and the depth that you're looking for. See, his grace and his ability to respond to you is based upon how much you love him. He said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, this is not based upon works. Love is not just on works, but it is an action, because if you love me, you will do something to show me. So, to make it all the way to the top of the ladder, to see that more excellent way, it has to have faith more than just believing. Satan believes, but I'm sure he doesn't love. Amen. He trembles, that's right. But if you have love, if you can understand this more excellent way, then you're going to have power with God. You know, in the book of John, you'll find that John and you all know this, never describes himself by his name, John. He describes himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he said it so much that all of the other disciples started to believe him. They believed that John was Jesus' favorite. They started asking John to ask Jesus instead of asking Jesus. He just believed so much that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. So after a while, they started to believe that. You know, it's not that God plays favorite, but he responds to your faith based upon love. I'm asking you the question today, how much do you love him? I remember when I was small, my mother used to spoil me. I would ask her, how much do you love me? And she would spread her arms. And I'd say, I love you more. And she would spread her arms wider. And I would spread our... You see, when we get to that childlike faith where we just look at God as our Father, when we're ready and have so much faith that we can leap off, you know, she didn't give him any notice. She didn't say, Daddy, I'm going to jump. She just trusted him. When you have faith that you can step out of your boat, when Jesus says, come... Peter didn't hesitate. He said, Lord, if you just say the word, I believe I can walk on water. Why? Because he loved him. Later on, Jesus asked him that. Love is the... He says, Lord, you know I love you. Do you really love me? Lord, yes, you know I love you. That's what gives our faith the next level of strength, is faith that is based upon love. That's the more excellent way Paul was trying to speak about. He's saying you can have all these gifts. You can do all of this stuff. You can have faith that moves mountains. But if you still do not have that faith based on love, it's not worth much. John chapter 21 verse 7. See, we have to get to the place where we truly believe that he loves us. There's almost nothing my children can do to stop me loving them. Let me say it again. There's almost nothing my children can do to stop me loving them. Right? Now they can stay away. Now you can choose who you marry, but you can't choose who your parents are. That's one relationship. You cannot call, you can stay away, but you're still, that's who your parent was. See, once we are born into God's kingdom, he loves us because of relationship. I've asked the question so many times to you that are parents, when did you start loving your baby? Was it when they graduated? Oh, now they've achieved something. Now I'm proud of them. No. You see that baby, as soon as it's born, the parent's saying, look at that beautiful baby. Now that baby could have had a cone head or whatever. May not be really the prettiest baby, but they don't care. It's their baby. Don't you say anything. It's their child. When will we come to the realization how much God loves us? He loves us because of relationship, not because of achievement. I've said this so many times. If you were loving a baby based on works, you would dump it. What is the baby going to do? Every day, 3-4 times a day, make mess. Keep you up every 2 hours, wake you up and cry. But it's still your child. You see, John 21 verse 7. Here's John. And he does this 4 or 5 times in the book of John. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and didn't cast himself into the sea. John described himself as, I know. And this is going to be key to your salvation. Let me say this again. You have to know that he loves you. If you have any doubt, you need to work on that. The thing I believe that got Job through all of his troubles was because somehow, despite what was going on, I believe he still believed God loved him. Because he declared, I know that one day I shall see him for myself. He declared that he was going to see. The only way you could do that is if you know God loves you. When you know God loves you, then you are free to love him back. You're not in fear. Your faith is going to be strong. You will be able to leap tall buildings just like Superman. The way you get your faith stronger is to have your love be deeper. You see, most of us don't believe that God calls us his beloved. If you did, you wouldn't go around so depressed, so down. I mean, come on now, I want you to truly think about this. If right now you thought God was saying, this is my beloved daughter, this is my I am so pleased with them, immediately your voice is saying, he can't, no, that's not me. Why? Because we're thinking about all our mess, all our stuff. Do you think my little grandson, he's how many months now? 4, 5 months. You think he's worrying about his mess? The only thing he's worrying about is when he cries, mom or dad comes and picks him up. Because after a while, he gets that sense that he is loved. The Bible says love covers what? A multitude of sin. See, this is what Paul was trying to get through, that if your faith is weak, it's because your love is weak. Because love means trust. Because I love my wife, I trust her. I don't have any kind of worries about what she's doing or what she's up, because I totally trust her. It's when we don't love, then our trust gets a little bit flaky. Wonder what's going on there. You know? Wonder what's going on. I see her talking to this guy. What's going on there? I have no fear. After 45 years, I don't think I have any fear about that. Now, I'm not looking any better. I'm not getting any more handsome. I'm not going to have the six-pack abs. I'm not going to be, you know, the hunk. I was never a hunk. I'm sorry. Forgive me. No, I was a confession. I was never that. But love, I'm so glad love is not based on just what we look like. God looketh at the heart. What does your heart look like? Is it beautiful? Is it a heart of love? You know, they symbolize the heart, Valentine's Day, as being the focus of love. But is our heart that beautiful? Is it something that God would say, this is my daughter, this is my beloved son? Paul was trying to show us there is a more excellent way. You know why our prayers are not totally answered is because our love is weak, and therefore our faith is weak. But when you get to the point where you understand what God has done for you, all I have to start thinking about is the times when he has just miraculously delivered me so many times. And even though I know that I'm not worth it, and I'm no good, that I mess up daily, that there are things about me I don't like, he still loves me. You know why? Because I'm his child. He still loves you because you're his child. And Paul was trying to tell us all today, there is a more excellent way that's not based upon fear. It's not based just upon knowing. It's based upon love. That's what he was trying to say. 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abideth faith. Yes, faith is absolutely necessary. It's the beginning. You must first believe that he is. But that don't mean I love you. I got to go beyond believing that you exist. Now abideth faith. There is hope and love. These three, but the greatest of them is love. Because love is what will make your faith work. Faith will then access God's grace, his unmerited favor. And when you put all three of them together, then you're going to be triumphant. Then you're going to be victorious. Then you're going to be a victor. See, most of us, as I said, our faith is weak because it's based upon weak love. Because when we love somebody, what do we want to do? We want to be with them. We want to be talking with them. We want to please them. How much do you love? How much do you want to be with God? How much do you want to be his servant? How much do you want to obey him? That's why in Hebrews 11:6 it says that first you must believe, as I said, that he is. That's the first step. But it's got to be beyond seeing the girl. Ooh, she's interesting. Or, man, he's good. You want to then know them. And then after you know them, whatever appeals to you can start to be the basis of love. Faith that is based upon love is the more excellent way. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. When I think about all the things God has done for me, my love is still weak, but I want to get there. I want to get there. That's why I'm preaching this today. There is a more excellent way. 1 Corinthians 12:31 says, but covet earnestly. He's saying the best gifts. Yes, it's good to be able to prophesy, to be able to do all these things. But yet, beyond that, I show you a more excellent way. And then he goes into the next chapter, and he's speaking about this love. This love that is pure, this love that is wholesome, this love that will make your faith reach the top. You see, without God's grace, our works fall short. But we can't access that grace without faith. And that faith has to be based upon love. If you could stand with me today. Whenever you read that scripture now, I hope it sticks in your head. I show you a more excellent way. A way that is based upon understanding that God loves you. And if you will respond to his love, your faith will grow. Then you will be able to truly move mountains. You'll be able to leap off the cliff because you know daddy's going to catch you. The scripture says, he shall give his angels charge over thee, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Not that we are presumptuous and we go throwing ourselves like we don't care. But because God loves us, he is going to rescue us. He's rescued me so many times. Yeah, I don't want to go over all my testimonies of how many times God has miraculously delivered me. Through fires, through accidents, through all kinds of stuff. And when our love starts to grow, then our faith will get to that place where it can move mountains. We'll get our prayers more easily answered. Who knows who came to Jesus? It was Martha. You know why Mary wasn't there? I've told you the answer. Because she loved. She didn't need to go ask him what he was going to do. It was because she already knew what was going to happen. It was Martha that came to Jesus, right? Mary already knew because Jesus declared about her, she loved much. She totally trusted him. When you love Jesus much, no matter what you're going through, it's going to not be as hard. Because even though you can't see the way out, even though bad things are happening, even though it seems things are going from bad to worse, underneath are the everlasting arms. Somehow, even though you can't see it, even though it seems impossible, isn't that what Jesus said to this man? With man it's impossible, but with God, if you will believe, when you have love, you will believe. I hope you have understood the more excellent way. We're going to close this service today. But I want you to leave here starting to look up and say, God, I'm going to believe that you love me. Yes, I'm not perfect. Yes, I have all kinds of faults. But you knew that already. That's why he said, while we were yet sinners, while we were still unlovable, while we were still in a mess, he loved us. Think about that. While we were really unlovable, while we were no good, while we did not care, while we were being totally selfish, he loved us. So now, through his death, he loved us. Scripture goes on, so even now much more. Through his resurrection, what does that happen? What will that do? If today you can leave here and say, Lord, I'm going to love you a little bit more. I'm going to draw closer. I'm going to start meditating on all the things you have done for me. I'm going to activate that love. My father used to say, love wins love. Just keep showing. God has kept showing me love till it stirred. He stirred it up in me. God is going to keep showing you love. I hope you won't reject it. I hope you will respond. And when you draw near to Him, He's going to take one step to you. And you draw near to Him, He's going to take another step to you. It's going to be like those movies where you see the two couples running through the airport, and then it cuts from one running to the other one running to the other, and then finally they meet. Finally, He's going to come back and take us to be with Him. Hallelujah. I'm closing this service, but I want to tell you today, there is a more excellent way that God has called us to. And we do not have to serve Him out of fear. It's good if fear brought you in here, but you need to leave with love. You need to leave understanding that He loved us when we were nothing. And if you truly understand that and get that in your heart, something in your heart will start to respond to that. Hallelujah. These altars are open. We're going to close this service. And I just end with this. I show you a more excellent way. And here's something else. When we truly love Him, we're going to love our brothers. He said, you can't love me if you can't see me, and the person you do see, you don't love. In fact, we show love to Him when we show love one to another. I show you a more excellent way. Hallelujah. We're going to pray. And I hope that when you leave here today, you'll be thinking about that. Meditate upon God's love, because it's the key. It is the key. It is, according to Paul, the greatest of these is God's love. Because on that is based both faith and grace. If you could bow your hearts with me. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that from your word we have seen that there is a more excellent way. We ask you today, Lord, to just fill our hearts with true love. Lord, for you and for our fellow man, Lord, that there be nothing, Lord God, that would stand in the way of that love. That all the things we have been through, Lord, the hurts, we will give them to you. The trials, Lord God, the situations we're in right now, that just like Mary, Lord God, we will give them to you. Lord, because we know, Lord God, that you are the resurrection and the life. And no matter how dead our situation is, how impossible it may seem, hallelujah, your love, hallelujah, covers, hallelujah, your love brings back, hallelujah, your love unites. Father, we pray right now, Lord God, that your love, oh God, will be shed abroad in this sanctuary. Lord, our hearts will be changed. Lord, we will run to you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Come boldly to a throne of grace that we may receive mercy. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Church, if you would pray for me and pray for those at the altar and pray for yourself, that the love that God has given you, that you